Today's daf is Menachis daf Nun Dalet, and we will begin on the last line of daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. So yesterday, daf Yomi began the fifth parak of Masechtas Menachis, and the fifth parak begins with the halacha. Kol ha-menachis bois matzah, all menachis had to be matzah, meaning the breads of the Korban Mincha cannot have been chametz. If it was chametz, it was ma'akiv, and the mincha wasn't kosher. With the exception of the chametz of the Toida, some of the breads of the Toida, which were dafka, brought chametz, v'shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem, which was brought on Shavuos. On that note, the Gemara brings a braisa, Tan Rabban, an ein machmitzin betapuchin, the lachmei toida that had to be chametz, and the shtei halechem which had to be chametz, you couldn't make them chametz using apples. Rather, they had to become chametz in the conventional means. So either with yeast or some other form of sourdough, but it had to be leavened in the typical conventional way. You are not allowed to use tapuchim, apples. In the name of Chavim ben Gamliel, it said that he argued, and he said that you were allowed to make the lachmi toida and the shtei alechem chametz using tapuchim. Rav Kana Masel of Rav Chinin ben Chad, and Anna says that he heard in the name of Rav Chinin ben Chad, regardless of machlokes tanoim, whether the lachmi toida and the shtei alechem could become chametz al yidei tapuchim, or cannot become chametz al yidei tapuchim. Says the Gemara, Kaman Ozla Hodet Tanan. It's a Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that says tapuach sheriskoi, an apple that was crushed, unos nebeteicha yisa, and was put inside dough v'chimtza, and now the dough became chametz, the dough rose. Harezu asur, the halacha is that the taruvus is going to be awesome. Now this Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, and it's discussing an apple that was truma. Truma, that's Nisarev with Chulin, creates Taruvos issues. Now, as long as you have a sheer bittel, the little bit of Truma would become bottled to the rest of the Taruvos. The Mishnah over here is discussing whether there was enough Chulin to be Mavatl, the little bit of Truma that was inside the Taruvos. Stating that, the Mishnah says that if the Truma, in this case the Tapuach, caused the dough to become Chametz, the halach is that even if you have enough Chulin to be mevatel the truma, harezu asur, the taruvos is going to be also. And the reason is because there's a klal in taruvos that if it's nicker, the dover muat, even if it's technically batel, but if it's nicker, if it's noticeable, if its impact is felt and seen, then that negates the laws of bittel. And in this case, being that the tapuach is the truma, it's the dover asur, so to speak, and it caused the dough to rise, it made this dough into chametz, thus its impact is nicker. So the halacha is that even if you have a sheer bittel, it's still going to be awesome. Says the Gemara, come on, l'chura, shouldn't this Mishnah be totally in machlokes tanam, meaning lema Rab Chanina ben Gamliel or Rab Chanina ben Tradin? Meaning, isn't it a raya that something that becomes chametz al yidei tapuach is considered chametz? Because if you're going to tell me that something becomes chametz al yidei tapuach is not considered chametz, and it's for that reason that the lachmi toid and the shtei alechem that when it's chametz al yidei tapuchim are possible to use as the respective menachos, then the halacha should be that it should be batal. Because even though the dough rose, but l'chayret, if it's not considered chametz and halacha, then why do you have this halacha that even if this is sheer bittel arezu asura? But the Gemara says no, it's not mechafilu tem rabbanon. Could be that mishnah even learning to rabbanon. Nay, the chametz gomer loyhavi nuksha miyahavi. When you learn masechtas pesachim, there's something called chametz noiksha. So regular, ordinary chametz is the chametz that if somebody eats on Pesach, he's going to be chayiv karetz. Then there's something called chametz noiksha, which is not chametz in the purest sense, that if somebody eats it on Pesach, he's going to be chayiv karas. But at the same time, it is considered chametz, so that, for example, if somebody eats it, he'll be chayiv malchus. Not karas, it's not real chametz, but it's chametz noish. Rashi says, noish is lashon re'ua. It's like an inferior type of chametz. But the bottom line is, chametz it's going to be. Tain is the Gemara. It's true that the Rabbanon hold, ein machmitzim betapuchim. That when it comes to lach mitoid and shtei halechem, if you would make them chametz, which they have to be, al yidei tapuchim, it would be pasul lemincha, and that's a raya, that chimutz al yidei tapuchim is not chimutz. All it means is that it's not the perfect chimutz. So it's pasul lemincha, and in the context of Pesach, you wouldn't be chayiv karis if you ate that type of chametz on Pesach. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that it's not chametz at all. L'may nafkimina, from a halacha standpoint, it'd be chametz noiksha. And if somebody would eat that type of chametz, again, something that became chametz al yedei tapuchim on Pesach, he would be chayiv malchus. The point is that being that everybody agrees that on some level it's chametz, albeit chametz noiksha, it's for that reason everybody agrees that if you have Isa that has a tapuach, Sheriskoi, that's made up of truma, even if there's a sheer bittel connected to truma, harezu asura, the taruvus is going to be bottled, because at the end of the day, the tapuach made it chametz. I thought in halacha, did it make it chametz? I'm not sure. All it didn't do was it didn't make it into the perfect chametz. So it didn't make it chametz so that it should be kosher lamincha, wherever you need chametz. It didn't make it chametz that so you should be chayiv karis if you eat it on Pesach. But it made it chametz noiksha, and that's enough for it to be chametz to say that it's not going to be bottled. So we discussed earlier in the Masechta that one of the avodas kashos shebemikdash was kmitza, melika, chafina, that was not on Yom Kippur, and kmitza, says Rav Eila, that the most difficult kmitza to do was the minchas chayte. And the reason is because the minchas chayte had two unique characteristics. Number one, lo yasam alei shemen, v'lo yitein alei levoina. There was no oil, there was no levoina. Being that there was no shemen, there was no oil, it comes out it was dry. And if it's dry, it's much more difficult to do the kmitza. So what was the hard part of doing kmitza? The hard part was you had to make sure that the kmitza filled the three fingers that were the kaimetz, but you also had to make sure that nothing protruded, because a kmitza can't be either chaser or yasser. Chaser meaning if it's missing a little bit, yasser meaning if there's a little bit too much. So the kmitza had to be perfect. You had to take your three middle fingers, scoop them, and make sure that there was nothing protruding from the sides. Now, what if there was something protruding? So the Gemara discussed how the kohen would take his thumb and his pinky and he would smoothen it out. Now, if the mincha itself is of a liquidy form, or it's at least it's somewhat moist, it's not so difficult to do. But a dry mincha is going to be much more difficult. Rabbi Eila said that from all the shverik kmitzos, ein locha hakasha lekmitza yoisim mincha schayte. The reason is because it was dry. But Yitzchok bar Avdimi yomah mincha schayte megabu b'mayim b'ksheir. No, the mincha schayte didn't have to be so hard. And Rabbi Yitzchok Avdimi said a very big chiddush, because even though the Torah says lo yitein alei shemen, that just means you cannot let it put oil, but it doesn't mean you cannot to put any other liquid into the mincha. You could put mayim, you could put water. Oil, you can't, like the Torah says. But water, maybe, yeah. Reb Shimon, who's Derish time of the cross, said that why is there not allowed to be oil? This is a chayte, and we don't want the chayte's carbon to be mehudar. Okay, maybe that's a svara in shemen, in oil. Oil would make the mincha mehudar, but mayim is not going to make it mehudar. Regardless, Rav Eila said that the kmitza of the mincha's chayte was very, very difficult because it was dry. If the Torah says you can't put oil, so you can't put in anything. Rav Yisrael Avdimi said, no, only oil you're not allowed to put in, but mayim you're allowed to put in. Says the Gemara, at first glance, would it be fair to say that this machloik is Rav Eila and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi isn't just a local, regional machloikis regarding the minchas chayte? Could I put water in or could I not put water in? But rather, maybe it's a global shaila. And that is the mar savar kemoy shehen misharin, umar savar likemoy shahayu misharin. And as we'll see, this machloikis right here, these two tzadim will be the topic of today's daf. So for now, let's just go through it briefly, and as we go through the daf, we'll have a better understanding of what these two tzadim are. But for now, says the Gemara, would it be fair to say that maybe the machloikis is anytime you need a shear of something? So in this case, you need a shear of kaimetz. You need a shear of a kmitza. Do you look at the shear right now, or do you look at the shear based on what it had been previously? Meaning the mincha of the mincha's chayte is made up of soilus. That's what the mincha is. Now, you want to go ahead and add water. Okay, but that's not the perfect mincha. The perfect mincha ordinarily has soilus, has levoina, and has shaman. In the case of the mincha's chayte, where there's no levoina and there's no shaman, it's made up of soilus. So when we go ahead now and we say it's okay to add water, now you have to don the shear. Make sure you had the right kaimetz. Do I look at the shear based on the way it is right now, based on the soilus and the mayim, or do I look at the shear based on what it was supposed to be? If the way I look at the shear is based on its status right now, which is made up of soilus and mayim, and the mayim somehow gets included in the shear kaimetz that I need, so then you would say that as long as this kmitza that I did is the right shear, as long as it's not chaser, it's not yaser, everything would be fine. But if the way I look at a shear is not kimoyshehe, not the way they are right now, but rather lik kimoyshehe, the way it was, and the mincha was before I added the water, merely silas. So it has to be a shear koimetz of only silas. And if it's missing a little bit of silas, it's going to be chaser. Or if there's too much silas, it's going to be yasser. So maybe that in and of itself would be a reason that I can't add water. Because once I add water, it's going to manipulate the shear of the silas. And when we talk about a koimetz that's chaser, a koimetz that's yasser, I'm looking at it with only silas, not with any water. So Tainus the Gemara, perhaps this shiloh between Rav Eila and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, whether you're allowed to add water to the Minchas Chayte, isn't just a shaila. When the Torah says no shemen, does it only mean no shemen? Or it doesn't mean I can't add any foreign object. I can't add water either. Maybe really it's totally in a much bigger shaila. It's totally in a shaila in all shiur. Again, the Gemara is going to go through other simpler applications of this shaila. But do I look at a shir kim moishehen? Or do I look at a shir as likim moishehen? If I look at a kim moishehen, to the extent I'm allowed to add water, then you look at the shir koimetz based on what it is right now. So as long as right now it's not chaser or yasser, it's going to be fine. So there's no reason I shouldn't be able to add water. But if I look at a likim moishehen, that means the shir has to be before I added the water. Before I added the water, I have to have a full koimetz of soilus. Once I add water, I'm playing around with that. That in and of itself would be a reason that it should be possible. But says the Gemara, could be everybody holds you look at it based on where it is right now. So based on that, everybody should hold that it's okay to add water. What then is the machloikis? When it says that minchas chayte had to be chareva, it means chareva dry in the sense that there's no oil. No, dry means dry. You're not allowed to have anything in it. Regardless, we mentioned over here, but derech agav, toot stadim, and how you look at shiurim. Do you look at a shir kim moishehen? Or do you look at a shir as lik kim moishehen? So the Gemara is going to digress now for an entire daf. It's going to take us literally onto daf nun hey. This shaila, in all shiurim, kim moishehen or lik kim moishehen? We learned in a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Uktzin. Basar ha egel shenitfach. If somebody had meat of an egel, shenitfach, he cooked it, and because he cooked it, the meat, the shear, the size of it expanded a little bit. It blew up. If somebody had meat of an older animal that was cooked, and when it cooked, it shrunk. So the shaila now is do I have a shear oichlin regarding tumma or not? So we know that oichlin becomes tame if it has a shear of kebeah. Ordinarily, when you talk about shiurim and oichlin, you're thinking in terms of kezias. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's Bekoisevitz. There's a few exceptions to it, but ordinarily, you're thinking in terms of kezias. Tumas oichlin is not bekezias. Tumas oichlin is bekebeah. Shailin the Rishonim, does that mean that oichlin can't become tummy if you have less than a beah? What about chatzi shear when it comes to tova? I've spoken a lot about that. Or does it mean that it only can't be mitame? But just to keep it simple, let's assume it means that oichlin cannot become tame unless you have a shear of a bear. So what you had over here is you had meat that either expanded or shrunk because of some bishel, of something that you did to the meat. The question is, when I dan, does it have a shear kebeah regarding tuma? Do I look at it based on what it was before I cooked it? Or do I look at it based on the way it is right now? So it says the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in the second parak of Masechtas Uktzin. Pasar ha'egel shenitfach, u'pasar skeino shenismaech, mishtarin likim moishehen. And the question is, what's the right gears in this Mishnah? Rav, v'rab chiyo, v'rab yoichan anamri, mishtarin kemoishehen. The right gears in the Mishnah is kim moishehen. Mean you look at the way it is right now? If right now it's a beya, it's going to be tami tumas leichlin. If right now it's not a beya, it's not going to be tami tumas leichlin. Shmuel, v'rab shimon bar rabbi, v'reish lokesh, ami mishtarim, likim moishehen. No, you don't look at the way it is right now, but rather you look at the way it was. So if when you stuck it into the pot, before you did anything to it, if it had a shear of beya, then it's going to be mitama tumas leichlin. If it didn't have a shear of a beya, it's not going to be a tumas leichlin. Incidentally, if you look at these names a little bit more carefully, so these were gedoyle amayroyim. You have Rav on one side, Shmuel on the other side, Rav Chia on one side, and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe on the other side. Rav Chia, Rav Shimon ben Rebbe are both talmidim of Rebbe. They're both bali plucked in shas. And then you have Rav Yochanan on one side and Reish Lakish on the other side. Either way, so Shaila in the Gerson, this Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, is it Kim Moishehein or is it Likim Moishehein? Very big daf gemina lahalacha. These are diametrically opposed understandings of the Mishnah. Do you look at it where it is right now, or do you look at it the way it was previously? What makes my last year kasha? Basar egel shlo yahya by kashir. Basar of an egel that didn't have a shear. V'tafach, and then you did something to it, and as a result, it expanded. V'amad al kashir, and now it does have the shear. So what's the halacha? It's a brisa. Tar l'shaavar. V'tami mikanu laba limafreya when it didn't have the shear. If anything touched it, it's going to be tahar. But mikanu lahaba, from the time that it was already tafach, if something touches it, it's going to be tameh. So you see clearly that you look at it kimoy shehen, you look at the way it is right now. You don't look at it the way it was. You only look at it the way it was if you're dining with Afreya. But if you're looking at it mikanu lahaba, then you look at the way it is right now. So isn't it a mafurish araya to those shitas that hold likamoy shehen? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'kasho l'reish lakish. It's a kasha on Reish Lakish that holds the Kamoy Shehen. I don't know why Rashi only picks Reish Lakish. It's really a kasha on Shmuel and Rab Shimon Bar Rebbe and Reish Lakish. But the bottom line is, the kasha on Reish Lakish is a kasha on the Shita that holds. You look at it the way it was, the Churi. See, from here, you look at it the way it is. So the Gemara says, Midrabon, and deals. I'm a Yoram, I'm going to hold, that really this Braisa holds, you look at it, Likam Moshehen. And being that Likam Moshehen, it didn't have a shear, really Midei Raisa should be tar. The reason the Braisa says that Mikanu Lahabot is going to be Tameh is only Midraban. Ihachim, a safe for the promise. How does it work with the safe of Vechem Bepig of Vechem Benoiser? The Braisa says the same is going to be true regarding Pigal and Noiser. Iyam, if Bishlam Midei Raisa, Bishlam, if we're dealing with the Dei Raisa level, Hainu Deikar Pigal and Noiser, I understand Pigal and Noiser. And the beer in the Gemara's kasha is that Pigal and Noiser both carry with them a Chiv Karis. And that's Pasha, the Gemara understands that the only time there would be a Chiv Karis for someone that eats Chavi Krisus is if he is over, he violates the Chavi Krisus on a Deiraisa level. But if somebody violates the Chavi Krisus on a Rabbanon level, for that he's not going to be Chiv Karis. So if the Braisa says that this halacha is true for Pigal and Noiser, it sounds like from the Stimas HaBraisa that there'll even be Karis, which seems to suggest that we're dealing on a Deiraisa level. We're not dealing with the Rabbanah level. So Bishloima, when the Braisa says Vitami Mikanu Laba, it means even Midei Raisa. Because the way you look at the shear is the way it is right now. And right now it has a shear. I don't care what was. I look at it the way it is this second, Kim Moishehen, like Rav and Rav Chia and Rabbi Yochanan. I understand the application to Pigal and Oyser. Eli Yamid Rabbanah. But if you're going to tell me that really Midei Raisa, you look at the way it was, like Shmuel and Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe and Reish Lakish. But when we say Tami Mikanu Laba, we just mean midrabanan. Freit the Gemara, pigel v'noisa midrabanan. Do you have pigel v'noisa midrabanan? Do you have chorus when it comes to the rabanan? So the Gemara says, "Eim v'chein betumas pigel v'chein betumas nice." When the Braisa says pigel v'noisa, it doesn't mean the chi of pigel and the chi of noisa, but rather what it means is tumas pigel tumas noisa, and that's based on a mission that in the Masechtas Pesachim that says that the Chachamim will goyzer tuma on noisa and on pigel. So in addition to all the sugis that you have regarding pigel and Masechtas Zvachim and Menachis, that injury to insult, or insult to injury, what you also have is you also have tumah. Oh, by the way, if the kohen touches pigel, he becomes tumah. If he touches noiser, he becomes tumah. Now that tumas pigel, tumas noiser, of course, is only a drabanan. And that's what the price is saying. What the price is saying is that not only if it expanded the food in to a sheer beya, is there going to be tumah midrabanan mikanu laba? You're also going to have the tumah of noiser, because if it was pigel and noiser, we're going to say that now it becomes tummy as well. Why would you think tumas pigel and tumas noiser is different than ordinary tumas noichlin? So good. I mean, I would have thought, however, tumas pigel and tumas noiser drabanan, being that the whole tumah is a fabrication of the rab. It's only the rabbanon. It's not a deraisa digadin. It's all the rabbanon. They're the ones that instituted this whole tumah on a deraisa level. No such thing as tumas pigel, tumas noiser. So kuli abed rabbanon le abed rabbanon. I would have thought the rabbanon weren't machmer on their own. The rabbanon kamash malon. That's not the way it is. The bottom line is if we have a machlekes again between the gedoyli amayroyim. If something didn't have a share and now it has a share, or something had a share and now it doesn't have a share, and you want to know with regards to the Tumas Oichlin Sheshiyuroi Be Kebei, a Mishnah Mesechtes Uktzin, do you look at it based on where it is right now, or do you look at it based on where it was? Some hold Kim Moishen, you look at where it is right now. Others hold Likim Moishen, you look at what was. Tainit the Gemara have a Mefurish Abraisa. Abraisa says that if I had something that didn't have a shear, now it has a shear. So it's Tar L'Sha'avar, that's Pashit, and it's going to be Tameh Mekanu Laba. Why is it Tameh Mekanu Laba? Bishlam, if you look at it the way it is right now, okay, right now it has the shear. That's why it's Tameh Mekanu Laba. But if you look at Likim Moishen the way it was, who cares that now it has the shear? So the Gemara says, if you hold, you look at it Kim Moishen, then it's Pashit. If you hold Likim Moishen, you're going to have to say it's Midrabban. Ayah mentions Nicer and Pigel, those are the rice of the ideas. Tumas Noisr and Tumas Pugel, that's what it means. And those are not the rights of the Gittis. Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from the next part of that price. Basar Skeina, Shayyabak Ashir. This is the opposite case. You had Basar Skeina that had the shear. Fit Samak, it was cooked. Because it cooked, it shrunk. And now it's Pachas Mikashir. So what's the halacha? Tame Lisha Avar, Vitahar Mikanu Laba. Lisha Avar, it's going to be Tame. But Mikanu Laba, it's going to be Tahar. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if you're going to tell me that you look at it, Likamoy Shehein, why is it Tahar Mikanu Laba? It had the shear. Elamai, you see, you look at it, Kimoy Shehein. You don't look at it, Likamoy Shehein. Here you can't tell me, Bidrabanan. If the Braisa, like in the ratio, was saving a Chumra, so then you could tell me it's a Chumra Dirabanan. But here it's a Kula. Here you tell me that even though it had the shear, being that right now it doesn't have the shear, it's going to be tar. So Bishlam, if you look at it right now, it's wonderful. But if you look at it the way it was, then Lechura, how do you have a right then to tell me now it's going to be tar? What kind of Dirabanan is this? Amar Rabba. So Rabba said like this, we have no choice but to narrow the machloikis between Rav, Rav Chi, and Rav Yechon on the one hand, and Shmuel, Rav Shimon, Rav Rebbe, and Rav Shlokish on the other hand. As follows. Anytime there was a shir meikara, now there's no shir. Then halach is everybody agrees. That's the raya from this last toshma. Everybody's going to agree there's no shir tomas leichon. If this second there's no shir and something touches it, there's nothing to worry about. If previously there was no shir and now there's a shir, everybody is going to agree that was the first toshma. The raya from the first price, so midrabanan. Everyone's going to agree that midrabanan, it's going to be tummy. Keep leaking. What's the machloikis? There was a shear. Vitzamak, and then it shrunk. Vichaza vitafach, and then it expanded again. So it right now has a shear, but there was an interim time when it didn't have the shear. What's the shiloh? Another Yisoidi Shaila. The Mar Savar Yesh Dichoy Be'isura. Umar Savar Ein Dichoy Be'isura. So we're very familiar with the concept of Dichoy because it's a Kachem term. And that is something that is possible to be used as a carbon. It's possible a Krava. Even if that psul later goes away, the carbon remains possible. It takes on a life of its own. It's what's known as Dichoy. Something that was once Dachoy remains forever dachoy. Now there's shailas, if something's dachoy meikara, is there a psul dachoy when it comes to balei chayim? Shmami naplas, the Gemara always says, regarding the laws of dichoy. But that's the basic gist of dichoy. Now once something gets pushed away, even if later the circumstances that pushed it away no longer exist, but it doesn't matter. Once you're pushed away, you're forever pushed away. That's the concept of dichoy. Regardless, Tainus the Gemara, in this case, when something had a shear for Tumas Leichlin, and now the shear went away. It's not there anymore. And now something happened again that it suddenly does have the shear. So the shaila is, do you say that once it was nitzamek, once it was less than the shear, at that time it was dachoy, I don't care that later it was chaz v'tafach. Why? Because this dichoy, and even though we're not dealing with kachim over here, this is not a kachim, even though we're learning kachim, but this is not a kachim diga halacha. This is halacha in the laws of eichlin, tumas eichlin, and shiur yachila as it relates to isur yachila. But the point is that just like this halacha of dichoy when it comes to kachim, this halacha of dichoy when it comes to isur as well. In other words, yesh dichoy b'isura. Another man holds ein dichoy b'isura. So once it gets pushed away, I don't care. As long as right now it has a shear, that's enough to say that there's going to be a Tumas Leichon. So the shaila is not whether Kemoy Shehein or Likemoy Shehein so much as it is whether Yesh Dichoy Be'isura or Ein Dichoy Be'isura. So we completely change the nature of the fundamental principle that these Amirim were arguing about. We thought it was a Grace of Shaila. Kemoy Shehein or Likemoy Shehein? It's still a Grace of Shaila. But an under a shayla. It's not kemoshein or likemoshein, but rather what it is yesh dichoy beisura or ein dichoy beisura. Fake the Gemara. Abel mi yekel man. Number the yesh dichoy beisura. Is it possible to hold yesh dichoy beisura? It's true in kachem. There's a concept of dichoy by mitzvahs. You find it as well, by the way. But in terms of iser v'heter, is there anyone that holds yesh dichoy beiser v'heter? But time we learned in the Mishnah kebeya oichlin sheidicha v'cham. If somebody had a kebeya of oichlin, he put it in the chamim v'nis matu, and now it's less than a beya. V'chein kazayis min ameis kazayis min anavelo. Ukadat doshem min asheretz. Gazayas pigle, gazayas noiser, ukazayas chelav. So you have a shear of oichel that's tame. You left it outside, and now it shrunk. Thus, it doesn't have the shear anymore. Let's say he left it out in the rain afterwards. Now it expanded again. Now the halacha becomes tummy. What's the bottom line? You see that even though it had once shrunk, and it was once at a point where it would not have been tame. But once it's chazav and nitfach, the halacha is yechayav all over again. In other words, ein dichoy biyisurim. So freit the Gemara, is it possible that there's a man lama that holds yesh dichoy biyisurim? I have a mufurish surprise that says ein dichoy biyisurim, and the Gemara says tiyufta leman da amar yesh dichoy biyisurim tiyufta. In other words, checkmate. Zok the Gemara tashma. I'll bring you a raila to the original shaila. So again, we started off with a shaila of kim moishehin or likim moishehin. Why are we talking about the shaila of kim moishehin or likim moishehin? Because the Gemara brought a machlokes between Rav Eila and Rav Yitzchak by Rav Dimi. The Minchas Chayti with the Torah says la'itin ola Hashem. Is it okay to put mayim or is it not okay to put mayim? Rav Eila said it's not okay to put mayim, and that's what Rav Eila said, that we know kmitza was one of the avodas kasha sheb and mikdash. Ein locha hakasha likmitza yoisem minchas chayte. Because the Minchas Chayte was dry, there was no oil, there was no water, there was no foreign ingredient inside the Minchas Chayte, and as a result, it was very difficult to do the Kmitza. Rav Yitzchak Dimi said, no, it wasn't so hard. Well, you can make it just as moist as you can make an ordinary mincha. I am not allowed to put shemen. Yeah, shemen you're not allowed to put. But you're allowed to put water. The question is, what was the shayla? So the Gemara thought, maybe the shayla is, when you dan the shir kaimitz, after adding water, would you look at the shir based on the kaimitz with the water? Or do you look at the shear based on where it was before the water? Is it kim moishehin? Or is it likim moishehin? If it's likim moishehin, then adding water would create a shail of chas of yasser. As a result, the Gemara suggests that maybe that's the beer in the machlokes of Eidor B'Yitzchak Gavdini. And the Gemara, in the same breath, literally on the same line, Taych Kedei Diba was Mevatel, and that's not what the shayla is. Nothing to do with that. Could be everybody agrees, Kim Moishehain. The question is, when it says that the mincha had to be chareva, is a chareva mishemen, or a chareva mikoldover? From there, the Gemara digressed. We mentioned the shayla of Kim Moishehain, Likim Moishehain, to another application, and that is the Mishnah Masechtas Uktin, where the Mishnah actually uses the words Kim Moishehain, and a big shayla in Amiram is the Girsa Kim Moishehain or Likim Moishehain. You have Rav and Shmuel, you have Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, you have Rav Chirvish and Berebi. But the bottom line is a Shaila over there, if you had Oichel that needs to be Kishir Kebeya in order for it to be Tameh, what happens if it was a Kebeya and now it was Nismayach, it was Nitzanik, it's less than a Kebeya? Or in the reverse, it was Nitfach, it wasn't a Kebeya, now it is. So why does that impact Tumas Leichon? The Gemara thought, very simple, Kim Moishehain, only Kim Moishehain. But the Gemara brought prices this way, prices that way. And the bottom line is, the Gemara said, that shayla is something else. It's a shayla of yesh dichoy b'yisura or ein dichoy b'yisura. The Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya to this shayla of Kim Moishehain or Likim Moishehain from a third area in halacha, and that is the halachas of Maisra. Says the Mishnah, Tormin te'enin al ha-groigris. You're allowed to take truma, or Maisra, as we'll soon see, from te'enin, figs, a la groigris, on behalf of dried figs, but only b'minyan. Only way you're allowed to do it is based on minyan. And really, the background to this halacha, which is a tesefta in Masechtas Trumas, is that there's really three ways you can take maaser. So maaser has to be 1/10. Maaser Rishon is 1/10 of your produce, you're supposed to give to the Levi. Ezra, Kansa, the Levium, but you're supposed to take 1/10 of your maaser and you're supposed to give it to the Levi. How exactly do you assess the 10th? So a 10th, what does a 10th mean? So it means if I have 10 apples, I have 10 figs, I take one. So there's three ways you could do it. You could do it either b'minyan, b'mida, or b'mishkal. B'mida would mean, yeah, you have 10 apples, take one, give it to the Levi. 9 for me, 1 for you. That's the way it would work. B'mida would mean that you measure. You measure the apples, and you take 1/10 of the measurement, you give it to the Levim, 9/10 you keep for yourself. But Mishka would mean you weigh it. You would weigh it, and you would take 9/10 of what you weighed, you keep for yourself. 1/10 you'd go ahead and give away. Now the truth is, the perfect way of doing it, Chazal said, was either b'mida or b'mishkal. B'minyan is sort of the cop-out way of doing it. But the Chachamim allowed you to do the minyan way. And the reason is because at the end of the day, the numbers are all going to be very, very similar. It should pretty much work itself out, right? Because you're always being aser from one min on behalf of another min. It's apples on behalf, it's apples to apples, right? not apples to oranges, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. And as a result, so whether it's mida or whether it's mishkal or whether it's minyan, give or take, within very, very small room for error, it's going to end up being the same number anyways. So even though The perfect way of doing it, this is important to understand the sugya, is b'mido u'b'mishko, but you could do it really in one of three ways. You could do it b'minyan, b'mido u'b'mishko. Stating that, zokta toisefta in Masechtas Trumas, if somebody was being toireim from te'enim on gregris. Now te'enim are figs and gregris are figs. The difference is te'enim are figs. Gregris were pressed figs. They're ready dried figs. Once you have dried figs, the figs, they shrink. Rashi says that they shrink with a ratio from 1 to 2. So if you want to look at it from a size or a weight standpoint, one regular gezinta fig is going to equal 2 gregris, 2 oiskeklapta figs. That's pretty much the way it's going to play itself out. As a result, if you're going to do the nicer b'mida u'b'mishko, you're going to end up with issues. So think about it. If you're going to take a regular fig and you're going to be toirim on behalf of the dried figs, so for 10 dried figs, if you're using the mido, the mishko, being that it's a 1 to 2 ratio, you're going to end up being ma'aser a half a fig. A half a fig on behalf of 10 is the wrong number. It has to be 1 on behalf of 10. It's for that reason the Chachamim said over here, you can use mido, you can use mishko, what you have to use is minyan. Oh, if you use minyan, it's going to be fine. Why is it going to be fine? Because then it's going to be 1 fig. It doesn't matter if it's dried or if it's not dried. At the end of the day, for every 10, you're going to take off 1, and you're going to keep 9 for yourself. So zok de b'raisa tor min te'enin ala gregris, but here's the key word, bim min. Zok de gemara gishmai. Iyam b'shalem l'kamay she'im mishar in shaper. B'shalem, if when it comes to all shiurim, whether it's the shiur of the koimetz, that's how this all started, or whether it's the shiur oichlin as it relates to bay of Tomas oichlin, or whether it's the shiur of fruit as it relates to the laws of Meiser. You always look at it, likimoshehen, the way it was, not the way it is. Then I understand the salacha. Why, when you toirim te'enim ala gregris, so you have to do a b'minyan? Because these gregris were once regular te'enim. And if you're going to go and use mido mishko, it's going to come out. You're not being ma'asa, the proper shir. Eli yamri kimoshehen. But if it's supposed to be all shirim the way they are right now, then what's the problem of doing it this way? In fact, you should have to do it b'mido v'mishkol. You shouldn't be allowed to do it b'minyan. Because if you're going to do it b'minyan, you know what's going to happen? Havalei marbe b'maisres. You could end up giving too much maiser. Because essentially, from a mida and a mishkol standpoint, which is the perfect way of being ma'asa, that's why this is important. Because the only way to understand this kasha. The real way to do it is the mida and the mishkol. So if you're going to do it now, b'minyan, it's going to be double the mida and the mishkol based on that 1 to 2 ratio. If that's the case, you're giving twice the amount of ma'asa you were supposed to give. And that's a bad thing. What do you mean? I give chaymish, right? I want to give more meiser. It's not so poshut. Yeah, maybe with meiser ksafim, tavay ol bracha, ask your local rabbi. But that's because there's no tevel implications. But when it comes to meiser rishon, when you're dealing with laws of tevel, misa b'dei shamayim, it's not so simple to be marbe b'maisrois. In fact, it's a brisa. Tanyu, I'm marbe b'maisrois. If someone gave more than a tenth of his meisers, peirois ha-mesukonim, the peirois ha-mesukon, u'masrois ha-mekukolim. But the meiser itself is messed up. It's mekukol. Why? The cheshbon is like this. If you give more than a tenth of meiser, so let's say you have 10 figs, and you take off instead of 1, you take off 1.5, or you take 2, or you take 3. So now you took off 3 figs, let's call it, right? So the 7 figs that you left are not tevel anymore, because if I took off 30%, included in that is the 10% that I had to take off, so there's no issues with tevel anymore. Where you run into problems is that the 3 that you took off are not all meiser. Only one of them is meiser. And number one. Number two, the one that's meiser didn't make the other 2 that are not meiser not tevel anymore. Because when you were toireim, when you were ma'aser, all you were being ma'aser on behalf of was the ones that were remaining. But the ones that I took off, I never had in mind to be ma'aser for. So the nishtahin and nishtaher, they weren't left over in the kri, so that we should say that what I took off was ma'aser on its behalf. At the same time, it wasn't chamaiser on it. As a result, the maestres themselves are going to be tevel. If the maestres themselves are going to be tevel, so now I have tevel mu'uriv with my maeser. So says the Gemara, pay roisa mesukonim, whatever's remaining is fine, but the maeser itself is going to be mekukla. Says the Gemara, ela maeser, this is a raya that you go kim moishehe. Because if you it's a raya that you go lick kemay shehein. Because if you go kemay shehein, then it shouldn't be okay to go ahead and do it b'minyan. Because by doing it b'minyan, you're being a marbe b'maisus. Ella says the Gemara, my the kemay shehein. So you can tell me, okay, so you have a raya for me, then it must be lick kemay shehein. If I take a look at the sefer groigris al teinim, the mida. What happens if it's doing the reverse case? What happens if you're taking groigris on behalf of teinim? So then you're ready. You could do a b'mida. Fake the Gemara. Yeah, I'm a bishlemi kemay shehein. Bishlemi if it's kemay shehein. Shapra. You look at it the way it is right now. I got why you can use mida. Ella, yeah, I'm a lick kemay shehein. But if you tell me you're supposed to look at it based on the way it was. Again, you're a marbim and maestros. Elul says the Gemara must be hacha this. It's talking not about Meiser, but rather it's talking about Truma Gedayla. What's the difference if we're talking about Truma Gedayla or Meiser? It's a very big difference. Meiser is 1/10. Meiser has a scientific number. Truma is chita achas peteres esakri. Truma, there's svaris of ayin yofa, there's an ayin ra, there's an concept of a benini. There's different ways of giving truma, but it's not a perfect science. Where it's a perfect science, such as Meiser, so then you have issues of being marbe and meisres. Then you have to know, is it kimoshein or is it likimoshein? That's where this whole aforementioned discussion is relevant. But says the Gemara, from this brisa of the Reish and the Sefer together, it's muchach that we're not talking about Meiser, rather we're talking about Truma. And being that we're talking about Truma, there's no issues. Why does the Mishnah want me to do it one time this way, the other time the other way? What's the difference if I'm being mafresh from the Tainim on the Gregors or the Gregors on the Tainim? If there's no science to it anyways. If it's anyways, Chita Achas Peteres Asagri. Says the Gemara, it's all in the realm, it's all in the world of Ayin Yafa. There's a concept of being Tainim by Ayin Yafa. But then Chanami, it's not something that's meik redim. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi ema sefer." There's a sefer that atay sefer. Omer Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi said, "Abba hoya noitel esek groiga shevet miktsaya." Who is Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yosi's father? Who is his abba? The Tana Rabbi Yosi. So he says, Rabbi Yosi used to take 10 groiga shevet miktsaya, 10 oiske klaptik groigris, altishin shevet kolkala, and he would use that for the 90 that were remaining in the kolkala. What's the kasha? Very obvious question. What's the kasha? If we're talking about Truma Gedayla, Eser Maya Vidate, why is it 1/10? The Brisa itself said, Tormin Te'enim Ala Gregers. We thought Tormin means Meiser. The Brisa said, no, it means Truma. If it's Meiser, it has implications to our Sugya. If it's Truma, then it's just a Shaila Vayin Yaf. It has no real implications on our Sugya. But the Gemara says that Teisefta has a Seifa. And the Teisefta brings a Meiser Shahoya Kachaya with an edus of Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, who's discussing the same halacha of the Mishnah, figs versus dried figs, and he's talking about a tenth. Obviously, we're dealing with, we're dealing with Meiser, so now we have to go and reassess everything we just said in light of the shayla of Kim Moshein, or Lik Kim Moshein. But the Gemara says it's not Muchach. And although Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi was talking about a tenth, what he maybe meant was still Truma, but not regular Truma, Truma's Meiser. How about Truma's Meiser? What's Truma's Meiser? So after the Levi got Meiser Rishon, he had to now take 1/10 and give it for Truma's Meiser. And even though his halacha was 1/10, but as we'll see now, his 1/10 is not like the Meiser Rishon 1/10. It's much more similar to the laws of Truma. The laws of Truma's Meiser mirror, according to some shittas, the laws of Truma Gedoyla. When the Torah talks about Truma, it says Truma's Chamalosh and Rabin, which suggests two types of Trumas. Achas Truma Gedoyla. So the pasuk was makish then truma gedayla and truma's meiser. L'may nafkim, you know, k'shem shetruma gedayla nitalas ba'ayim edem machshava, kach truma's meiser nitalas ba'ayim. Two chidushim regarding truma gedayla. Number one, ba'ayim ed, you don't have to measure it mamish b'diktok. You can take your best guesstimate and give truma gedayla that way. The same is true for truma's meiser. Additionally, truma gedayla is nitalas b'machshava, so too Trumas Meiser is Nitalas b'machshava. Additionally, not Trumas Gedayla b'ayin yafa, Trumas Meiser b'ayin yafa. There's a concept of, but the bottom line is, just because Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi said that Abba Hoya Noitel, in the same case, Groigris and Te'enim Shebekilkala attend, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was talking about Meiser Rishon. He too was talking about Truma Gedayla. Thus, you can't bring any rayas, but the Gemara says it's not true. You could still bring a raya, and we'll end with this. Umina, is that true? What did Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi say? So Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi was being Mafish Truma Gedayla. Truma's Meiser. Not Truma Gedayla, not Meiser Rishon. It was Truma's Meiser. And what did he used to do? What was his minik? His minik was, Hayunaitel Esek Groiga Shebe Miktsaya, Altishim Shebe Kolkala. Now clearly, he was trying to get it 1/10. And even though it doesn't have to be 1/10, you're right, because it's Niteles Ba'oimeh, just like Truma Gedayla is. But at the end of the day, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get it as 1/10. And what was the 10th that he was doing? He was counting. He was being mafresh at peminyan. So time is the Gemara. At the end of the day, we could still be machriya the shayla. Because I'm a bishloima likamay shehem. Bishloima, if the way you look at the shear is the way it was, shaper, then I understand that he's taking 10 oiske klapta figs on behalf of 90 regular figs. And even though based on the mid and the mishkol, it doesn't work, but it works based on the reason he's working on the minyan is because he understood that you have to don the shear based on the way it was. So even though right now, from a mid and a mishkol standpoint, it doesn't work, but you don't look at where it is right now. You look at where it was. And once they were all tanim shavikul kala. And that's why he was doing it. But if you look at the kamay shehem, because the 10 that he took were already iskiklap. As a result, they were pressed figs. If they were pressed figs, it was half the size. So he was taking, it's like he was taking off 5 on behalf of the 90. Not 10 on behalf of the 90. Says the Gemara, isn't it at the end of the day, a raya? It's not a raya. Shani after this whole amid of Gemara, where we go down this journey of laws of Meiser, and Trumas Meiser, and Truma Gedayla, at the end of the day, it has nothing. What's that?
We cooked it without Chia.
What happened to Dichoy? I hear. But the bottom line is, as it relates to the basic halacha of Kamoy Shehen or Likamoy Shehen, at the end of the day, being that you could make it back, you have to work out the Tchia, but being that you can make it back to Likamoy Shehen, at the end of the day, that's why it's different. And Chanami, there is a Svara, you do see from Yosi Likamoy Shehen, but that's only because the Kamoy Shehen was transient, or at the very least, the Kamoy Shehen, the status quo was something that you could very easily undo. But when you have a Kamoy Shehen that you can easily undo. Over there, the halacha is the bottom line is we had a shayla over here of kim moishen alikra. Every time you have a shear, it was once like this and now it's like that. It was once like that, now it's like this. Do you look at the way it was, the good old days, or do you look at it based on the way it is right now? We had 3 nafkimidas la'alacha, 3 completely different sugyas. The first one was menachas related, a shayla of the minchas chayte, could you add mayim or not? The Gemara thought maybe it's totally in the shayla. The second was tumas oichlan a mishnah mesachtes uktsin. With regards to the sheer bay of Tomas Leuchel, and the third is a Brisa Mesechtes Trumas, and that is where there's a halacha of being ma'aser, b'mida, b'mishkol, b'minyan. What happens if you be ma'aser from one thing onto another thing where one shrunk, such as gregris, you have pressed figs, which are shrunken from the way it is naturally, and the other one is in its natural state. So the question is from a mida and a mishkol standpoint, you can't give too little, then it's still going to be tevel. You also can't give too much, because Hamarva ben Maestro is Peiroisa Misukanim, but Maestroisa Mikukolim, these were the 3 areas in Halacha that this impacts.